The number of issues challenging Michigan's environment, economy, and public health can feel overwhelming, but there's been progress in some areas, and in the first ever budget proposal from the state's new Democratic governor, there is an increased focus on environmental investment and improvement. I'm David Farron. Welcome to 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. The first Friday of each month, we get together with the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and my partner, Lisa Wozniak, and she always lines up just the right person to talk to. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you, David. And speaking on behalf of both of us, I'd like to provide a very warm welcome to Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Welcome, Governor, and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you both. I'm really glad to be with you.
Yes, we do thank you for taking time out of such a busy schedule. It has been said, Governor Whitmer, that show me your budget and I'll show you your values. What does your budget proposal say about the values when it comes to Michigan's environment?
Well, I love the way that you put that. You know, I've always subscribed to the belief that a budget is a lot more than just numbers on a balance sheet. It's a statement of who you are and where you're headed. And so it was really important to me in this first budget that I will introduce as governor to set the priorities right. My budget reflects a dedication to living up to the things that I said on the campaign trail, like fixing our roads, to making sure that education dollars are actually going back into the school aid fund so we're giving our kids the kind of education they need, and focusing on fundamentals like cleaning up drinking water in Michigan. So the budget that I introduced is concentrated on really meeting those needs. I also reorganized government with regard to the Department of Environmental Quality, which will soon be known as EAGLE, the Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, and with a concentration on making decisions based on science and facts with expertise and driving the model of how we're going to start running government.
In my many years of doing work in this sector, Governor, I've seen many candidates and elected officials say that our water and our lakes are a priority, and then they fail to act in ways that truly reflect those words. As you noted, your first budget invests significantly in clean drinking water and protecting our Great Lakes. Can you tell us how and why this became a top-tier issue for you and what the citizens of Michigan are going to see in their everyday lives from that spending?
I think that one of the kind of watershed moments for me, you know, in the last few years was when the magnitude of the crisis in Flint became publicly known, that government was making decisions based on saving money as opposed to what was in the best interest of the community. And to see generations of people in Flint who were harmed by this really motivated me to jump in and run. And that's why I know that you cannot live without clean drinking water. It is a fundamental human right. And so as I look at everything from setting the budget to recreating government to what policy I will sign or veto, it's going to be driven by cleaning up our water for our citizens. As the climate continues to change, it was really important to me that we enter Michigan into the U.S. Climate Alliance and get Michigan into a leadership position, because we are stewards of almost 21% of the world's fresh water in and around our borders. And we've got to be known not for not having clean drinking water, but for being leaders in the stewardship of it.
Well, one of the things you've proposed inside your budget is a $60 million investment to ensure that there are water hydration stations in every school that needs them. Could you explain why these hydration stations are needed and what this says about the state of our state's water?
I know we all saw the headlines about Detroit Public Schools this past fall with regard to old infrastructure bringing water into the buildings and leaching lead. The fact of the matter is we've got old infrastructure across our state. I'm known for talking about the roads and bridges, but infrastructure extends to the pipes that are underneath the ground. And they're bringing water into homes and into school buildings alike. And the age of them and the status of them is precarious. And that's why it's going to be really important that we test our schools and ensure that we've got the ability to provide clean water to kids. And replacing pipes, it takes a long time. It's an incredibly expensive process that sadly no one's perfected as of yet with regard to just assessing where the need is. And so we thought the most responsible thing to do was to install hydration stations. It was cheaper and we could move quicker and ensure that kids have clean water in their schools.
As you mentioned, Governor Whitmer, the issues extend well beyond the walls of our schools and into our water itself and the entire infrastructure. So how does the budget address get that process started in specific as to addressing an aging infrastructure that will no longer sustain itself for many more years or decades?
One of the things that I'm always quick to point out, you know, I'm getting across the state and presenting my budget. I'm always quick to point out, this is not a judgment against a person or a political party. This is 40 years of neglect, 40 years of disinvestment. We can see it in our commutes, but we also know it when we turn on our tap, that Michigan has not invested in ourselves in a meaningful way that keeps up with need in 40 years. And that's why the magnitude of the problem is so big. That's why it will take a 45-cent gas tax to get Michigan on track to have 90% of our roads in good to fair condition, and it's still going to take 10 years even at that size of an investment. But it extends to these other forms of infrastructure that impact every one of us. The fact of the old lines in the water, the fact of these threats to our environment, this is what neglect looks like for 40 years, and it's time for us to take our head out of the sand, have the hard conversation that we all should be able to, and to come up with a solution that actually fixes problems. And that's what I've put on the table. It was not easy to craft this budget, but I stand by it because it's, for the first time, an honest assessment of where we are and a real solution to fix the problem.
And I'm glad you brought up the fact that you do not want to consider this a partisan or a party issue. However, we have had some Republicans stand forward and say that your 45 cents fuel tax proposal is a non-starter, and we're going to have to go back to the beginning on that. Are you looking at other elements of the environmental parts of the budget that are also going to have to go back to the drawing board before we get a budget passed?
It's the legislature's job now to propose something in the alternative. I've heard a lot of different opinions about what is doable or not doable, but I've not seen any real solutions in the alternative that have been put on the table. And if someone is unable to provide that, then let's get serious about talking about my budget. No matter what, at the end of the day, the product is, it's got to be a real solution to cleaning up water, to educating our kids, closing the skills gap, and fixing our infrastructure problems. I've said all along, if someone can figure out a easier way to raise $2.5 billion it's going to take to fix our infrastructure problem, I'm interested in having that conversation. But I'm not going to play games and tell the public we've solved a problem when I know we haven't. We're going to do this, and we're going to do it right, and we're going to stay in town until the job is done.
You are listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, sitting alongside my partner Lisa Wozniak of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and we are talking environmental budgets and priorities with Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
After proposing to eviscerate funding for the Great Lakes, President Trump reversed course, and in a recent Michigan appearance, he said he would indeed include the $300 million in funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative in his proposed budget. How does your budget, Governor Whitmer, here in Michigan, supplement that initiative and create immediate and longer-term protections, especially now amidst what you have already called out as a dire situation with our changing climate?
Well, I think that, you know, I was glad to see the president change course, I think for the third year in a row. this was something he's proposed and that our congressional delegation was successful in getting him to change course. I was at a meeting at the White House in December. They invited a number of new governors in, and the president asked what were the most important issues to our state, and I raised the issue of invasive species into the Great Lakes. I raised the issue of rebuilding the Sioux Locks because I knew those were two things that the Army Corps of Engineers plays an important role in, and obviously the federal government does. And I did it also because I knew I was in good company with the governors of Illinois and Ohio and Wisconsin, because I know that this is some place that we can find some common ground. We are a bipartisan group of governors from Great Lakes states who I think have an important voice, and this is reflected in my budget. It's reflected in the work that I'm doing to rebuild this Great Lakes governors group so that we can bring to bear information and pressure when need be onto the federal government to protect our Great Lakes, because it's in all of our interests.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Governor Whitmer, because whether it's Asian carp or agricultural runoff and the algal blooms that causes in our Great Lakes, particularly Lake Erie along the border of Michigan, it seems to me that the states have not always been on the same page and are sometimes working in silos. Can you have those conversations that will ultimately lead us to using the collective budget toward the common goal that would much more effectively and efficiently move us further down the line?
I think not only can we, but we must. I did convene a group of the new governors from the Great Lakes. So it was Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, and myself. We're all first-term governors. The governor from Ohio is Republican. The rest of us are Democrats. So it's a bipartisan group of first-term governors who have found some important common ground around protecting the Great Lakes. And this is a caucus-building effort, and having served as a leader of a caucus and understanding the power of joining our voices, it's something that I started that conversation with the governors, and we're going to continue pushing and working closely together.
So we are almost at the one-year anniversary of the anchor strike on the Enbridge Line 5 oil pipeline, the 65-year-old pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. And immediately after taking office, you asked Attorney General Dana Nessel for her opinion on the legality of the Line 5 Tunnel Authority, which was created amidst great controversy late last December. Last week, Attorney General Nessel issued her opinion, and then you issued an executive director instructing all state agencies to cease any work with the nascent tunnel authority. Could you explain what this means in the near term, and then what next steps will be taken to address the threats posed by this aging pipeline in our Great Lakes?
Toward the end of last year, there was a lot of work being done at the Capitol to, I believe, tie my hands when it comes to overseeing the construction of an alternative ways for Enbridge to move oil. I've been very clear on the campaign trail that I want to get that pipeline out of the water at the earliest possible opportunity, and that's why the first thing I did after taking my oath of office is ask the Attorney General to render an opinion analyzing those efforts on behalf of the legislature in the last administration. The opinion essentially says that it violated the Title Object Clause, which renders it unconstitutional, and anything that came from that legislation as well. We are still analyzing what all of our possible actions can be as a result of it, but certainly I think that there are a lot of different angles that we have to anticipate with regard to what the next steps are and what the next steps, frankly, of the company are going to be. So
Enbridge does have the right to sue if it so desires, but it has, in just this past week, said that it is more than willing to work with the administration to move forward. What's your end game? Removal of the pipeline or rerouting of the pipeline?
Well, I want to get the pipeline out of the water. That's, I believe, is the right thing to do for our state, for the future and of our state and the protection of the Great Lakes. And so that's my ultimate goal, and that's drives how I look at everything with regard to what our next steps are.
Our conversation with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer continues on WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Right now, the family of what are known as forever chemicals, PFAS, PFOS, PFOAs, might be one of the most pressing threats to our drinking water. They are turning up everywhere we look, including through the span of the Huron River watershed, which is right in our backyard. How do we ensure that our government is setting a safe standard for this family of chemicals, and how do we make sure that citizens, especially those impacted by this, have a seat at the table in this conversation?
Well, Lisa, I want to thank you and the League of Conservation Voters, and so much of the work that is being done with regard to showing the public how big this threat really is and to show how real it is across our state has been done through an education effort, and people are now in a much better position to appreciate how serious this issue is and how many of us are impacted. In my budget, I signed an EO, executive order, that reestablishes and strengthens the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team. We included $200,000 in the Michigan Agriculture and Rural Development budget to create a permanent emerging contaminants coordinator position. We've also included $13.9 million in the DHHS budget for environmental and public health hazards response. The DEQ is immediately filing a request for rulemaking to establish enforceable MCLs for PFAS in our drinking water. And so we've got a number of different departments in my administration that are moving very quickly to educate, assess, mitigate the dangers, and to clean up what we're confronting as a state and to set standards.
And mitigating and remediating can be very expensive, and in fact, this first budget that you've put forth may end up being a drop in the bucket when it comes to PFAS contaminations. There are two elected officials from Washtenaw County, State Representative Yusuf Rabi and State Senator Jeff Irwin, that introduced polluter pay legislation, which, ever approved, would hold those responsible for making the mess accountable for the financial burden of cleaning it up. Are you on board with those bills?
Those are bills that are early in the process and that obviously I'm going to keep my eye on. Something that we need to do is hold polluters accountable and to ensure that we're in a position to utilize resources to clean up the problems that they've created. So with that as my overarching philosophy, I'm looking very closely at how this process is moving forward.
But even by their own accounts, both Representative Rabi and Senator Irwin indicate that their bills are likely a non-starter right now in this legislature. So given that, Governor Whitmer, as you look beyond this first budget, which I know right now you're all eyes are right on that budget and trying to get it across the finish line, but as you look through to your first term in office here, your first next, these 4 years, how do we raise enough state revenue to make progress on all of the issues that we've discussed today, notably those that are threatening our drinking water?
The important part of the budget that I've introduced, that I'm presenting across the state, is, you know, we've underfunded everything. And right now we're stealing money from the general fund to fill potholes because we don't have a real infrastructure solution. And to shore up the general fund, we've stolen from the school aid fund. My budget, raising the dollars at the pump, means they'll be constitutionally protected, so every dime goes into actually rebuilding roads and bridges. When we do that, the general fund money can get back into the general fund, and which means we'll have the opportunity to make these investments in hydration stations and the work that MPART is doing, et cetera. And it also means that the school aid fund dollars can get back into our schools so we can actually fund our kids' education at a level that we haven't seen in a generation of Michigan kids, take us from back of the pack to a top 10 state in educational outcomes. We can do all of this when we fund infrastructure the right way, and that's why that's the linchpin to getting all of this accomplished. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be with you today, and I thank you so much for what you're doing on the radio every single day.
Governor Whitmer, thank you very much for your time. We do appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking with you again down the line.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Governor. We look forward to our next opportunity to speak with you about all of these issues. They're critically important, and thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
That is Governor Gretchen Whitmer discussing clean water and public health priorities as put forth in her first budget proposal. Lisa Wozniak, thank you for setting up the interview. And as always, I thank you for sharing the time, and we'll see you next month.
I look forward to it, David.
That is Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and my partner for First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.